Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Mark Ross, and I'd like to welcome you to another night of Spiritual Connections Radio. As you know, recently we've been doing two shows a month, which we usually don't do, but we've had so many great guests lining up. We're just opening up extra nights just to make sure that we can get everybody in. So welcome to the show. As you noticed, the music wasn't on the beginning. We're actually shifting into new music for this year, and our radio studio and everything is actually working on the soundtrack still. So we'll be really excited when that comes forward. With that, I just want to let everybody know, if you want to find out more about this show and other shows, you can go to our website at spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And with that, I'm going to bring Pam in, because as you can tell, I can barely talk.
Mark's a little under the weather tonight. Hi, everyone. I'm Pam Latour, and together Mark Rossin and I come on the first Monday of every month normally. As Mark said, we have two shows this month, and it's Spiritual Connections Radio. Tonight, we have an amazing guest. I think we had her on once before, quite some time ago, because I remember her. This is Melissa Joy Johnson, and she's best known for her ability to engage people from all over the world. She has written a book, M. Joy, Practically Speaking, Matrix Energetics, and Living Your Infinite Potential. And there's lots more about her that I'm not going to read to you, because it's much more interesting to have her tell us herself. So, Melissa, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah, it's great having you on. I mean, I almost want to think that this is, I think, the third show we've done with you. I lose track of them sometimes. But we enjoyed having you on so much. We were basically working with your people. I like saying that. Our people were calling your people to get you on.
Our handlers. So, we call them our handlers.
We had to get you in between tours. So I really appreciate you taking the time to do the interview. It's always great to spend time with you. So thank you.
I'm delighted to be back. I love having conversations in consciousness, and I'm always game for showing up to talk about probably the most important topic of our existence. So thanks for having me.
Very cool. So talk to us. What is MJoy?
What is MJoy? I don't know the answer to that question. What I can tell you is that the term MJoy, it's kind of a play on words initially from my name, which is actually Melissa Joy. That's my birth name. And MJoy is really a movement in consciousness that brings the participants back into a recognition of our own natural state, which is a state of being in joy. And so MJoy is it's a movement in awareness back to our natural state. And there's so many ways to get there that are taught through the teachings of MJoy as well as the teachings of Matrix Energetics, that, you know, to describe it would, in the same way that describing Matrix Energetics would limit it, it would limit it. But what MJoy is it's really a return to the recognition of everybody's inherent completion and connection to the all that is, where everything becomes possible and available and realizable. And that's really the essence of MJoy. It's an aspect of heart-centered awareness, but it really enables the individual and the community to step into their true authentic power, which is not a power over anything or anyone. It's really a power through connection.
Oh, thank you. Go ahead, Pam. Pam.
Did we lose Pam?
Sorry. Sorry. I had an issue with my mic. I know you've been on the show before, Melissa, and I know that let me drain my thoughts, because I just asked the question and then I have to ask it again. We have this continuous turnover of people that listen to the show. In other words, there's a lot, we build our audience as we go, and they're not always the same people. So could you please give us a quick rundown? And you just said you don't want to put a label on Matrix Energetics or explain it, but can you give us an idea of what it is?
Oh, absolutely. I'll just preface that with any time we describe something, you know, the description isn't really it. It's just a way of putting a framework or parameters around something. But matrix energetics itself is it's a field of information. It is literally a morphic field that enables anyone who comes into contact it to more easily and readily access transformation, miracles, and their own inherent limitless potential. It is a movement in consciousness that is based on the fact that we are all limitless beings, despite the fact that we've been conditioned into believing otherwise. And everything that we teach in matrix energetics has not only a backdrop in physics, but also a strong backdrop in spirituality, and also a strong backdrop in practicality. So it's really kind of the trinity in that you get a spiritual essence, you get a scientific essence, and you get a very practical essence. And what we teach our students to do is primarily learn how to get out of their own way and to access more flexible ways of navigating through everyday life. And because it is based on principles of morphic resonance, which comes from biologist Rupert Sheldrake's study of morphic fields, it's based on principles of habit, which means that the more people come into contact with a specific morphic field, the more people do something or engage in a particular way of navigating, the easier it becomes for other people to pick up that habit. And matrix energetics itself has been taught to tens of thousands of students around the world since 2003. What we've seen over the last 11 or 12 years is that students pick up this information very, very quickly. It's a non-local field of information that is so powerful that just the intention to connect to it makes the information accessible. So what we teach in matrix energetics seminars, as well as in the MJOY seminar, is really how to modify resonance with particular patterns of information to change up your experience. Whether that experience is a physical disease, literally a diagnosed condition, or a relationship, or even how you relate to your garden growing. There are packets of information available in the morphic field of matrix energetics that allow for any pattern or condition or situation to change. And everything that we do in matrix energetics, we do from a state of playfulness. We are very, very playful in our approach. We provide information to feed the logical mind, but understanding the information is not at all necessary in order to experience for oneself the limitless options that are available through this field.
And is matrix energetics something that you practice, something that you become? What is it exactly? I mean, what do you do with it?
That's a great question, and the answer is both and yes. Initially, matrix energetics may be something that you appear to do, where you are following, say, specific guidelines for interacting with various patterns. Over time or instantly, it really becomes something that you become. It's a way of being and interacting with a very conscious, interconnected universe where everything, absolutely everything, is simply patterns of light, information, and resonance. So initially, sometimes students will come into the field, they'll come to a seminar, or they'll read a book or listen to an audio program, and they think that matrix energetics is something that they're going to do, like a technique or a modality, where they're going to follow certain steps in order to get a specific outcome. And what they will learn the more they play in this field is that the more flexible they can be, the more flexible reality will be, because reality itself is extremely malleable and it's essentially up for grabs. And rather than matrix energetics being something that they do, it becomes a connection within themselves that they embody. And then everything that they notice and interact with and connect to and relate with becomes an expression of that which is limitless potential, which is what we all are. So it can be both. Many of our students think they're coming to learn a new technique, and techniques really only work as long as techniques work, or there wouldn't be new ones coming out all the time. But really, if matrix energetics is approached as a flexibility of consciousness where everything is just patterns of light and information, then the technique becomes a way of being where in any given moment you're never stuck. There are always options, and it's simply a matter of noticing, connecting to the information, and then allowing it to unfold.
Fascinating. And how does M. Joy, practically speaking, relate this book that you've just written? How does it relate to matrix energetics? I know that it's more than matrix energetics, or it's not just about that. Can you explain that to us?
Definitely. M. Joy, practically speaking, matrix energetics and living your infinite potential is very much about matrix energetics, because matrix energetics is very much a big part of my life. But it isn't about learning a modality. It's really, the book itself is a journey for the reader into heart-centered awareness and the essence of heart-centered awareness, that which is unconditional love, actually also has a physics that maps very closely to the physics that we engage in matrix energetics. So the book itself is a journey into the field of the heart, which is our first point of reference for everything that we notice and experience as we engage in the field of matrix energetics. But the book itself can be interwoven into any modality and or anyone looking to experience changes in their practical everyday life. It's really written from the standpoint of, how do I integrate knowing that I'm a limitless being with the real experience of having what we perceive to be limitations. And so the book brings forth an integration of spirituality with science and practicality in everyday life. And whether you're interested in science or you're just interested in learning how to get along with your husband better, there's really something there for everyone. There's many different languages that are woven throughout the book, and the book itself is somewhat holonomic and holographic in that every one of the chapters enfolds information from the other chapters, so that if you don't get something, say, in the science of morphic fields in chapter 3, you might get that same information presented in a very practical way through chapter 5, which is focused on heart-centered awareness. So there's basically something there for just about everyone.
Well, that's a great answer. I'm going to turn it over to you now, Mark.
Oh, thank you. So I know by looking at the schedules and everything, I think you have a seminar series or a woman's series that you're doing all over the country and all over the world related to the book.
This is true. In addition to the many, many upcoming matrix energetic seminars that we have scheduled, including San Francisco, where we're kicking the year off this upcoming weekend, I'm also teaching the M. Joy of Being Women's Seminar Series, which deepens some of the teachings that are presented in the book, and really, really deepens the experience of heart-centered awareness relative to modifying resonance with all that we relate to. So it's a very empowering course. It's a very practical course, and it's open to anyone and everyone, whether they've attended a matrix energetic seminar or not. The only prerequisite at this point is that the participants be women.
Okay. Excellent. So, I'm going to ask something, and if it's not a place for it, that's fine. But do you feel guided to do some type of exercise with our listeners right now?
I'm certainly happy to engage in an exercise. It was so funny when you were asking me the question. I thought you were asking me, do you feel guided to exercise? And I'm thinking, well, I went for a run this morning, and I guess I can tie that into the interview. So that's why I had a pregnant pause, because I was like, how do I tie this in to make it relevant? But I mean, really, the answer there is that, you know, every movement that we engage in, whether we're physically moving or not moving, is still a movement in consciousness. So, exercise is still a stretch of the imagination. Why don't we just take a moment, since everything that we teach in Matrix Energetics and the MJoy of Being Women's Seminar Series is focused on heart-centered awareness, and there's a lot of buzz right now about, you know, coming from the field of the heart, really, you know, being in that place of being centered in the field of the heart, why don't we just take a moment and let our listeners have the experience of realizing how very, very easy it is to be in the field of the heart. And it's interesting because the field of the heart is really the very first thing that forms when we come into three-dimensional reality, possibly even before the physical heart is formed. And what we're talking about with the field of the heart is not the physical heart, not the heart chakra. What we're talking about is this space of no space, this point of reference within ourselves where the sense of self connects into that which is the all, which is no self, which is nothing, becoming everything. And I know that's a mouthful, but what we are talking about is dropping into the part of our awareness that knows itself as being inherently whole, complete, limitless, timeless, even dimensionless. And the field of the heart is that part of ourselves that is consciousness potential before that potential has separated out and expressed as something or and an experience. So when we drop into the field of the heart, what we are dropping into is pure potential, potential before that potential has expressed as something. And when we're referring to the fact that we are limitless beings and we are infinite in our nature, what we are referring to is connecting into that part of ourselves that knows this and hasn't forgotten despite how we've been conditioned and enculturated by our experiences. So dropping down into the field of the heart is as simple as allowing our awareness to move from wherever it is, whether it's in our mind, whether it's projecting out in anticipation of something in the future, or ruminating on something that transpired in the past, noticing where that takes our awareness spatially, connecting to where it is, and then bringing that connection into the area that we would call the field of the heart, which spans anywhere from basically the throat all the way down to the base of the pelvic floor. So we've got, it's like if you were going to go float out in the ocean, in order to float, you might put an inner tube around you. Well, that inner tube is a nice metaphor for the tube torus or the torsion field of the field of the heart. It's this counter-rotating, spiraling donut that surrounds all of us and serves as an interface between our sense of self as an individual and the truth of who we are, which is absolutely everything and nothing simultaneously. So just think about something that you're concerned about right now. Mark, we'll just take your cold. You've got a cold. Okay, so notice where that takes you. It might even take you straight into your sinuses. Okay, so wherever your attention takes you, connect to that, and then allow for your awareness to drop from wherever you are down in to the center of this inner tube. For some listeners, it may be easier to see the field of the heart like a translucent bubble around them and center oneself in the center of the bubble, in the center of your reality sphere. And what may occur for some of the listeners is a sense of peacefulness, a sense of expansion, a feeling as though there's no discernment between where self ends and everything else begins. Sometimes when we drop down into the field of the heart, we might feel kind of like a bubbling up of almost like champagne bubbles. This is the bubbling up of that essence of joy, which is available to all of us through the field of the heart. Sometimes when I drop my awareness down, like almost like there's an elevator moving out of my head down into the field of the heart, when the elevator gets down into the field of the heart and the doors open, I notice nothing. And that nothingness is actually a very powerful cue or indicator that we've arrived in the field of the heart, because the field of the heart is no thing before the no thing expresses as something. So it's pure potential. It's like empty space that is voluminous with possibilities. The easiest way to drop into the field of the heart is simply to notice what takes you out of your heart, because the field of the heart is home. That is our most comfortable space of grace to occupy. But oftentimes, as we are navigating through our lives, through relating to others, through circumstances, through day-to-day concerns, we become so enamored with what it is that we are experiencing that we leave the field of the heart. So simply noticing that your awareness has moved away from the field of the heart is enough for awareness to move back. Truly dropping into the field of the heart, it's very much like breathing. We don't think about breathing, although we can consciously learn to breathe more effectively. But, you know, it's very, very natural. We breathe in, we breathe out. The same way where you drop into your heart and then you allow for your awareness to move out and notice whatever it is that gets your attention. Did that answer your question, Mark?
I had to come back. Yeah, that was incredible. Thank you.
Well, the funny thing about being in the field of the heart is that you get there and then you're listening to someone talk and you might ask the question, well, am I in the field of my heart? And just asking the question can even take you out. So, you know, what we learn through playing in the field of matrix energetics and playing in AmJoy is how to be there all the time and leverage the value of the intellect to be able to make choices and make distinctions. Because it's not about abandoning the mind to be in the heart or discounting any of the gifts that we've been bestowed upon by universal consciousness. It's really all about integration. And integration is how we experience completion, and completion is what's available through the field of the heart.
It was a beautiful exercise. Thank you.
Did I put you to sleep?
No, no. Well, I'm really, really relaxed, which is great.
Well, the thing about dropping into the field of the heart is it's kind of addicting. You know, once you're there, you're like, oh, why would I go anywhere else? Thank you very much. And what we all have the capability of learning is how to be there and to be everywhere simultaneously. Because, you know, we didn't come here to escape. You know, any spiritual model that teaches us to escape our everyday life is, it's really compartmentalizing our experience of spirituality. And why I wrote the book was so that readers could learn to integrate our spiritual essence with the scientific information, with the practical ramifications of learning how to navigate through everything from the field of the heart.
Thank you. Pam?
When you, Melissa, when you drop into your heart center, and I have to say that it didn't put me to sleep, but I felt like I just feel this sort of inner happiness. That's lovely that I think that brought to me, and I so appreciate that. I want to say thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you for being open to it. You gave yourself the gift.
So tell me, you mentioned when you were doing the exercise, you said, Mark, I know you have a cold, so you related this exercise to his cold. Is there something that you can do to use this sense of being in your heart center to heal yourself or to make things happen? Like, for example, I was thinking when you said, when you were talking about an issue in your life, my husband has been waiting for money for a long time, and that money hasn't come. So that's what I thought of. And you have Mark's cold. How do you relate being in that heart center to actually changing life deliberately?
Yes, that is such a golden question, and I didn't mean to single you out. It's just the first place my attention went was Mark and his cold, and it was an example because he's noticing his cold, he's experiencing his cold. You know, basically right now Mark is his cold, and that's what often we do with our circumstances in our lives is like, you know, we're waiting for money, and all we notice is that the money isn't coming. And the more we wait for the money, the more we are in resonance with the sense of lack of not having the money.
Absolutely.
And what heart-centered awareness provides us the ability to do effectively and consistently is to move beyond the limitations of duality and the polarities that command our experience of duality into a space of unity where no money and money are the same. They aren't separate, but they are separate when we are perceiving it from a specific vantage point that says, I don't have the money. And so as long as we're perceiving from a vantage point, what happens from a physics standpoint is we collapse the wave function. Out of all the various possibilities that are available in any given moment, we have doorknobbed in on the one perception that we are noticing, and we actually gravitate and attract more unto itself. So while you can be waiting for the money, what you're actually doing is resonating with not having money. What heart-centered awareness allows us to do is to move into a state of inclusiveness, all-inclusive. And what all-inclusive means is not having the money and having the money are part of the same continuum. And we aren't excluding any possibility from our resonant awareness. In including everything as part of nothing from the field of the heart, everything becomes available. So what happens is there's actually a physics of momentum that kicks into place where all of the possibilities that are available that we don't notice while we're waiting for the money to come in and we're noticing that it's not there, those become more heavily weighted probabilities. They become available in our sphere of influence, so to speak. And the more we're not gravitating or attached or hooked into what we don't have, the more likely we are to attract what we desire. Whether we're talking about getting rid of a disease, bringing in money, or attracting a soulmate, it doesn't really matter. They're all patterns of information. There's no difference at the level of universal consciousness. What heart-centered awareness enables us to do is to allow for inclusion, to allow for everything as part of itself. Now, allowing for everything to be available as part of itself doesn't mean we're going to experience everything. It doesn't mean that because you're allowing for no money that you're going to experience more of no money, or because you are no longer fighting your disease that you're going to succumb to a particular negative outcome of your disease. What it means is you've let go. You've relinquished attachment to a particular point of perspective, and you've opened into the all that is available so that other possibilities become more heavily weighted probabilities that can then actualize as experience. So for your husband, teaching him to drop into the field of the heart will allow for him to move more freely among the limiting binding polarities of wanting something and then noticing that it hasn't happened. You go to the space where it already is, where everything is available, and then you notice what gets your attention, and you pay attention to the cues that the universe will reflect back to you that are signals moving you into your desired direction.
So, all right, that was a lovely explanation. Thank you. But it takes me to something else.
Okay.
I teach science, basically. That's what I teach, relating to the quantum field, relating to generating experience based on your thoughts, your emotions, and putting them all together, your visualization, and putting them all together and deliberately generating experience. Now, what this means to me, you know, I do a lot of quantum entanglement sort of explanations, which means that all atoms are connected on a very deep level. And the interesting thing that, or the interesting insight that I had while you were talking, was that it seemed very much like the heart-centered awareness concept was dropping into a place of all potential, where you can choose. At that point, you're no longer fixated on one possibility, and since all possibilities are available, you then can choose another outcome. Am I right or not?
Yes, that's a beautiful way of describing it. And while we teach quantum physics as part of the scientific model, quantum physics doesn't quite capture the essence of heart-centered awareness, which goes a little bit further into something called torsion field physics. Because there is quantum entanglement, and it's more than just, well, the reason that atoms, you know, can communicate from thousands of miles away is because they're not separate. What they are using to communicate is torsion fields. And torsion fields are essentially outside of the measurable electromagnetic spectrum, although they are part of the electromagnetic spectrum. Everything is connected inherently through torsion fields. Torsion fields have been scientifically proven to be able to communicate instantaneously anywhere at any time. The field of the heart is a torsion field. So when we drop down into the field of the heart, we are dropping into the container of consciousness that is inherently, instantly connected to absolutely everything. So when we are coming from the field of the heart, we can then notice an atom or a situation or a configuration or a disease from the space where all the other options are available simultaneously, and we can then choose our resonance, or we can choose which pattern of information we want to connect to, because they're all connected at the level of torsion fields. And that is why dropping into the field of the heart really is the gateway into the power of choice.
I see. So what is the difference between a morphic field and a torsion field? And the second part of this question is, if it's outside of the electrical, what were the words you used? The electrical field of
electromagnetic spectrum.
Thank you. The electromagnetic spectrum. We're talking light. If it's outside of that, how do they sense it? How do they know it's even there?
Okay, so now we're probably gonna lose some listeners if we get really too scientific. And I've explained this all pretty simply in the MJOY practically speaking. Basically, the simplest way to answer it, and I went bold in the book, and I said that morphic fields are actually nested torsion fields. A morphic field is basically it's a field of information based on similarity. So the information within a particular morphic field, it's based on like attracts like. These waves are attracted to one another. They nest together because of similarity. They're self-similarity, and so they gravitate. And morphic fields are formed by individual morphic units or thought forms, so to speak, that conglomerate together. All morphic fields are made up of torsion fields. So we could even go back to, we could talk about, you know, David Bohm's quantum potential, which I know that you're familiar with. And basically we could say that the quantum potential is as the zero point field or ether, it's undifferentiated torsion fields. And then these torsion fields need a form for organizing themselves. And so they organize through clusters of similarities, through morphic units, which then create morphic fields. Morphic fields then serve to inform systems, organs, tissues, cells. Those would be really morphogenetic fields, but they also inform social and cultural and familial behavior as well. So I would say that because torsion fields are known to be everywhere in the fabric of the universe, they are essentially nature's stable flow form for pouring consciousness into it. They are the containers for information. Does that sort of answer your question? Because you're asking some really deep questions, and I don't want to lose too much of the listeners.
Right. No, I think it's a very, I think you explained it simply, and it makes sense. That's wonderful. So let's go back to Mark and see how he's feeling over there.
Okay. Let's go ahead and just take a quick break. I want to let everybody know you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. Find out more about us on the internet at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And before I go in and ask the question, Melissa, can you go ahead and give out your website so people can find out more about your book and some of the seminars that you're doing related to the book?
Certainly. The website is www.matrixenergetics.com, spelled MatrixEnergetics.com. We have seminars coming up in San Francisco, Albuquerque, Philadelphia, Vancouver, Toronto, Chicago, Asheville, Sydney, Australia, and very soon Moscow and Croatia. But there's plenty of information on the website, and the book and audio programs are available there as well.
Very cool. Thank you. I guess the question I have, I want to turn to a personal question about you. And that is, you know, you've been through, you know, Matrix Energetics, and, you know, you've kind of gone through your own growth and transformation, and, you know, you've gone into this area of MJoy and this expansion. Can you kind of lay it out for us as far as what your observation has been, as far as witnessing your own growth and what you've noticed in the 3D, as far as your abilities and stuff developing as you've gone through and done all this work?
Yeah, how would I answer that? I think I would answer that curiosity really has been one of my greatest teachers, that and also Dr. Richard Bartlett. I mean, we are constantly in a conversation that pushes us both to continue to learn. But what I have really, really learned really over the last 8 years is that it's true. Anything is possible. And when you become open to questioning what you believe is true, how you've been conditioned, how you've been raised, the programs that you're running, the memes and the morphic fields that you're resonating with, and you consciously choose to open into the possibility that things can be different, that you aren't the limitations that you've been programmed to believe, then anything becomes possible. I mean, we are all naturally intuitive, clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient. We're all connected. We all have an inherent ability to access the limitless potential that we are. And all it really takes is curiosity and desire and a willingness to be authentic. And literally the universe will meet you wherever you are, and it will invite you to go deeper.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, it's a very good summary in the way you put it. You know, I think what we notice about people, you probably see with people who come to the seminars, is that we're just not aware of the abilities or the gifts that we have. And it's just a matter of putting our attention on it and actually seeing it open up and seeing those gifts. So, you know, and I was wondering, it's like, you know, before you started this path and everything, I mean, were you pretty much a 3D type of person who didn't really have any abilities, or were you the gifted child, or?
Well, you know, when I was a little kid, my mom used to say, oh, she's 8 going on 38, because I would walk into a room, and there would be, you know, a group of people there, and I would just throw out this information to my mom that would be very, very accurate and precise, and she'd be like, how could you possibly know that? And, you know, kind of the running joke was I was like Lucy from the Peanuts, where instead of selling lemonade, I would be out, you know, giving out advice like the doctor is in. And then as I got a little older, that skill kind of got chastised, or it was inappropriate, or I was too precocious, or, you know, how dare I know this about people. And so I sort of dummied it down. And then when you go to school, of course, there's, you know, the need to fit in and to conform and be, you know, just like everyone else, not realizing that everybody else is like that too, and they're dumbing down that skill set too in order to fit in and, you know, be what society expects them to be. So I dummied it down for a long time, but I think it was still always kind of there. And when I got out of college, you know, I majored in psychology because that was, you know, an acceptable sort of hybrid of science, but also kind of had an esoteric aspect to it. And when I got out of school, I went into the pharmaceutical industry, and I did that for about 14 years. And, you know, it was something where I could always really accurately project how many prescriptions a particular doctor might write in a quarter. And, I mean, this happened over and over and over again. And you know, first I thought I was just lucky, and then I just realized that, you know, I was projecting, I was connecting to information, and my projections were accurate because I was really good at connecting. And so I didn't realize it at the time, but as I look back now, I realize that, you know, the skill sets were always there, and they're there for everyone. It's just how much do you want to open into allowing them to cultivate and be a part of who you are. To me, it's the most practical way of being, and I wouldn't want to be any other way. And it might seem weird to certain facets of society, but to me, it's weird not to access, you know, the power of the truth of our essence, and that is that we have access to all the information that is available in universal consciousness because it's all connected. It's all there. Just pay attention.
Wow, thank you. You know, you know, we have a lot of different programs that are taught, and, you know, you had talked earlier about, you know, this isn't a modality that you learn. You know, a lot of people would come to this almost and say, okay, I want to learn this so I can learn how to heal, so I can help and heal others. But to me, if I understand the program right and the way things work, this is more about a person just expanding who they are and really connecting with that inside energy.
Well, it's both, actually, Mark, because, you know, a lot of people come to learn how to heal, and people's cancers go away, broken bones are mended almost instantly. It can be whatever the student wants it to be. What we often tell people is, you know, be careful of doorknobbing in on why you think you're here. You might think you're here to learn how to heal someone, but you may actually be here to really discover more of the true nature of reality. So it can be anything and everything, and it will evolve over time. I mean, I first came into Matrix Energetics because I was looking to heal myself of a condition. And when that went away, then I realized there was so much more here for me in this field relative to my own experience in three-dimensional reality. And so it can be a healing technique. It can be a way of being. It can be just a method of interacting with information so that you get better gas mileage. I mean, really, there are no limits except for the limitations that we put on how we allow ourselves to perceive what is available. And even that won't stop this field of information, because the way that collective consciousness is moving now is the information's coming in, and it's coming in fast, and the information wants to be received, and people are hungry for it. So if there's curiosity about what's available in Matrix Energetics, let go of the need to know why. Trust the curiosity.
Yeah, I know. I've talked to a lot of people who have gone to the programs, and they say it's one of the most great things they ever did, you know, because it's so interesting to see all the different things that unfold, you know, at the event. You know, as far as when you first started with the program and where it is today, I mean, is the field so much more expansive? What is really the big difference in, you know, all these years and stuff as far as the way the program has been expanding?
Well, I would say since I came in 2006, the field itself has become so much stronger, and how we notice that it's stronger is how quickly people get it. What used to take, you know, maybe 2 days to teach, we now can disseminate or model that information in an hour. And so what that has enabled us to do is to significantly expand what we teach in a given time frame, whether we're teaching the fundamentals, which is sometimes 2 days, sometimes 3 days, we're teaching magic, which is 2 days, or we're teaching spatial clairvoyance or remote influencing, we are able, with every successive seminar, to pack more information into the parameters of time, because there is no time in universal consciousness and in the morphic field. The information is just downloaded instantly. So what I found is that our teachings continue to evolve based on the group consciousness that shows up, and the group consciousness as it relates to this field is continually evolving, because that's the nature of a morphic field. It's a feedback loop. So the more individuals contribute to a respective field, the more powerful that field becomes, the more powerful the signals are of the resonant information that is inherent to a field. So people come in now and they just know how to do this. It's easy. Little children know how to do this. So that would be one thing. I would also say that the focus has moved away from relying heavily on quantum physics to really moving into the torsion field physics, which is a physics model that explains instantaneous healing. It explains invisibility, levitation, free energy. It's the physics of Nikola Tesla, and that is the physics of heart-centered awareness. And we've brought that model in, which means that really more and more people are consistently able to access limitless free energy and information and transformation and miracles very, very quickly.
Thank you. Go ahead, Pam.
Melissa, I don't know if this, you know, we're getting rather deep into the morphic field and the torsion field and all of that sort of thing. I just basically would like to know how that relates to, like, the concept of the 100 monkeys, the concept of the ley lines around the planet that for example, the birds fly from north to south in the wintertime, you know, and follow those lines. How does that relate to the morphic field?
Well, Rupert Sheldrake would, you know, I can't speak for him, but he would say that the 100th monkey effect and everything that you've just described can be explained through morphic resonance, and that it is morphic fields that are commanding those behaviors, and that the information within those respective morphic fields are being signaled to the recipient, so to speak. So with respect to the morphic field of matrix energetics, which is a specialized field of information based on what is possible, not what is not possible, the more that anyone taps into a respective morphic field, the more powerful it becomes. And so because we are teaching people how to embody heart-centered awareness, how to connect into all the torsion fields that unite universal consciousness, each time they change up how they are relating to themselves, that actually emits a torsion field into the fabric of universal consciousness. So every time they come into a greater coherence within themselves, every time they establish connection with a field of love or a field of limitless potential, there is a recording through a torsion field that is indelibly imprinted in the ether, so to speak. And that torsion field becomes available for everyone because we're all connected through torsion fields. So what is the actual 100th monkey? We don't know. I mean, we act like monkeys in the seminars. We're silly and we play really hard. But that threshold for each respective morphic field becomes easier for someone to access the more people connect into a morphic field. So all of it is interrelated.
I see. Well, that's a wonderful explanation. The let me talk for a minute about the women's seminar, the one that you said the only prerequisite to attend is that you had to be a woman. Is there is it set up to purposely support just women, or why would that be a criteria? Why are you calling it the women's seminar?
Well, it's really not a women's seminar, and probably the very first thing that comes out of my mouth every time I teach it is, I don't do women's seminars. It is a course focused on integrating the sacred feminine with the sacred masculine. The sacred feminine is not a women's issue. We are all inherently a blending and an integration of feminine and masculine. It is the integration of the polarities that gives rise to our completion and our wholeness. And so what the class is focused on is amplifying resonance with an essence that we would call the sacred feminine, which isn't feminine at all, but it is an essence of connection, of compassion, of completion, of intuition. And it really is the essence of torsion-field physics or vorticular physics. And so initially the class was designed to attract just women as a placeholder, to cultivate strength within this submorphic field, which is inherently connected to matrix energetics. The class itself will be opening up to men as well later this year, and it's not just for women. It really is about integrating all of the aspects of our inherent wholeness, because anything that we deny or we shunt will come back to bite us. And so it's really about embracing our limitless potential with our limitations, the heart-centered awareness with the power of the intellect, sacred feminine with the sacred masculine, and spirituality with practicality.
That sounds wonderful. Now, I just have one more question. I'm going to turn it back over to Mark. It's about the seminars themselves. You mentioned earlier a list of different kinds of things that you were teaching, and I'm assuming that those were all different types of seminars, or were they all aspects of one basic seminar that you teach?
Oh, no. They're very different. We have a plethora of teachings. We have in matrix energetics, we have what's called matrix energetics fundamentals, which is the, we call it the entry-level course into the field, but really 80% of what is available in the field can come through by virtue of just taking that class. And that's where you really learn to embody heart-centered awareness. You learn how to get out of your own way to do what is called the two-point, which is a way of connecting with information. We teach time travel, parallel universes, archetypes, frequencies, modules, templates, a number of different ways of navigating through patterns of information. We then have an advanced course, which is just magic, and magic is basically simply hidden science. So we really tap into some very, very powerful ancient morphic fields combined with the modern flexible approach of matrix energetics, and it's a very, very powerful course for deepening the alignment of one's true will with the will of universal consciousness, and we just play really hard. We have other classes beyond fundamentals and magic where we teach students how to work at a distance, how to utilize something called spatial clairvoyance, which is simply noticing that consciousness organizes itself spatially. We have an advanced mastery course where we actually bring back the word healing. Once we've let go of the need to heal anything and we realize everything is available, then there are very specific ways we can navigate through rigid configurations of consciousness that might look like disease. We're also launching a brand new course this week in San Francisco. It's an advanced course called Master Harmonic Resonance Technology, and it's another way of interacting with the body and the biofield to restore coherence and well-being. Then there is the MJOY seminar, which is available to women, which is it's really heart-centered awareness and learning to modify resonance with morphic fields. We have 24 morphic fields that allow us to access more flow, fulfillment, joy, well-being, and personal power. And there'll probably be some additional new seminars that come down the pipeline this year because we're just staying connected and listening to the information and following the guidance of the field that says, you know, put this out there. People want the information, and what they do with it will significantly transform their lives and the lives of those they love.
That's great. All right. Mark, I'm going to turn it over to you.
All right. Sounds good. Melissa, why don't you go ahead and give out your website to everybody again so they can go check out the seminar, you know, where the schedule is and all that.
The website is www.matrixenergetics.com, MatrixEnergetics.com. On the website, you will see upcoming seminars where the founder and my co-teacher in divine crime, Dr. Richard Bartlett, and I will be teaching. We will be in San Francisco this week, January 16th to the 21st, teaching fundamentals, which everybody is eligible to attend, as well as the advanced magic course and the new Master Harmonic Resonance Technology course. We will be then heading up to Albuquerque, teaching fundamentals and unplugged, which is the spatial clairvoyance class. The only prerequisite is fundamentals. Then I'll be teaching MJOY in Philadelphia, February 7th and 8th, and then we will be back on the road in Vancouver, February 13th through 16th, teaching fundamentals and unplugged. New seminars post to the website pretty much every month, so if there's not a city near you that is calling your name, then sign up for our newsletter, and we will let you know when additional seminars post. There's also links to the two Matrix Energetics books written by Dr. Richard Bartlett, Matrix Energetics, and actually The Physics of Miracles, which we co-wrote together, as well as a link to MJOY Practically Speaking. We have two audio programs that are a phenomenal way to connect to the field in the comfort of your own home. And there are many ways to connect to the field beyond physically attending a seminar, but I would recommend to anyone who is curious to take the leap, take a step forward for yourself, come to a seminar and immerse yourselves in the live, experiential, mind-blowing, life-altering experience of a live seminar because you will not regret it.
Well, as always, it's great to have you on the show. Thank you for doing the interview, and give our best to Richard. And thank you, Pam, for being on. And I guess that's it for tonight, everybody.
You're so welcome. Thanks, Melissa. Thanks, audience.
Thank you both. Thank you, and Mark, be feeling well soon. Vitamin C.
Sounds good. All right. Good night, everybody. You've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio.
Good night. We'll see you the first week, the first Monday of next month.